Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today we are recording on location out at Bunker Hills Golf Club for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. Got a special co-host with me today, not a stranger to the show, Mr. Jason Burley. Jason, welcome back. Great to see you today.
It is great to be back on the radio.
Well, you've been pretty busy. You and I were going to have this co-hosting gig together, and then your civilian career took you in another direction. So I got the honor to fill in and then take over as the primary host. But let's have a great show together today, and you know, maybe we'll show the audience what it might have been if it was the Doug and Jason show or Jason and Doug show by chance.
Well, you know, you got to go alphabetical order. It's always the right way to do it. And it is great to be back, and I'm so happy for you on the show. It's going great. I listen to it every week and just doing a great job. But it's hard to fill the shoes of Mr. Tom Lyons, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, speaking of filling the shoes, we're out here. As I said, this is the 15th annual Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. We're at Bunker Hills Golf Club here in Coon Rapids. And Jason, you had to fill shoes because Tom, for the last 15 years or so, has run this golf tournament. And then somehow, some way, you were either voluntold or you just fell into it. And all of a sudden, you're running it. So how did that happen?
Well, I'm not running anything. I just happen to have the title of the chairman. But believe me, Tom Lyons runs this golf tournament. And he runs it very, very well, as does the rest of the organization and the board. And we're very fortunate today to start with our guest, the chairman of the board, the president of Pop Communications, and the chairman of the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, Mr. Bill Pop.
Mr. Pop, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So 15 years of doing this golf tournament, another fantastic day. I don't think we could have asked for a better day, but I think we say that almost every year, or we hear just about every year. But this started even longer than that ago. Some 20 years ago, you had an idea. How'd this idea formulate, turn into what it is today?
Well, I grew up having a lot of respect for service members in the military. And when I got married, my wife, her father was in the Air Force. And he was still active. And he was serving in so many different spots from time to time. In other words, they moved him around a lot. And that gave me some idea of the experiences that my wife went through in growing up. As an example, she went to 6 different high schools during her 3 years in high school because they moved so much. But it really opened my eyes as to the sacrifices that military family members make in for our country. And I guess that what really hit me was I also learned that when military service members sign up, they take a promise. They make a promise, they take an oath to protect the Constitution, but they also are signing away their rights as a United States citizen. And I didn't really realize that, and I know that now. Hey guys, how you doing? I know that now. And that added to my respect for service members immensely. Plus the fact that the service member's family also serves. They didn't sign up. The service member signed up, but the family may as well have signed up as well because there's a lot of sacrifices that happen.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we talk about that, Jason, and you know, you served as well. And we have the easy part, don't we? You know, it's the family really that ultimately pays that price.
Yeah, the soldier on mission has their mind on the mission, and they're occupied. It's the family at home that has to take care of all the things that they used to take care of with their spouse, with their family, and all the things that happen while they're serving. What was the driver, Bill, when you thought about that? What was there an impetus, that something that happened that drove you to form the foundation?
Yeah, I talked with General Andreotti, the TAG at the time, and said, how can I help? And we worked on some things, and then I happened to know Governor Pawlenty and told him what we were doing, working on, and he said, well, I've got an idea. So I worked with Governor Pawlenty to put together the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and we started raising funds, and then say it was a year or so later, we got Governor Pawlenty said, hey, let's put support our troop plates in place to raise money for the Military Family Foundation. And thank you to Governor Pawlenty and Mrs. Pawlenty and General Andreotti. And I was just, you know, at the right place, asking the right people the right questions, because I learned, again, through my wife's experience with the family, just how much sacrifice goes into supporting our service members. But I tell you, the thing that really struck me, too, is our service members, their number one request when they're deployed or sent wherever is, take care of my family. I will go risk my life, and I will do whatever it takes to get the mission done. Please take care of my family. That's the service member's number one request. And I was able to zero in on that and say, how exactly can we fulfill that service member's request, and that is take care of the family. And military families, you know, military doesn't pay. You're not going to be rich. They don't pay a lot. You're not going to get rich in the military. So from time to time, service member families have financial crises that come up. And again, when we help one service member's family through a financial crisis, we're actually helping all service members' families, because, as you mentioned a little earlier, service member has to keep their mind on mission. And if there's a financial crisis at home, it's real easy for a service member's mind to get off.
So, Mr. Pop, in the opening ceremonies here today, Tom was talking about the impact that the foundation has had. I think the numbers were over $6.2 million in some type of aid that's been provided, and that equates to over 2,600 grants. So when you think back to day number one, the initial conversations you were having with General Andreotti at the time and Governor Pawlenty, 20 years later, did you think that you would have, you know, been spent, had given out $6.2 million in aid? Was that even a thought 20 years ago?
No, it was a dream, but again, I hadn't put any numbers to it. I just got by day, focused on mission, raising money, creating awareness, and finding the families that need help. And we've got a fantastic Family Assistance Center program that works with our service member families to help us identify the families that need financial help, financial crisis. And we've got a great system set up. And again, part of what's big about this is I want to say thank you to all of those people that have purchased the Support Our Troop license plates, because the money, that extra $30 a year you pay, goes to helping the Minnesota Military Family Foundation support military families when they're having a financial crisis.
Mr. Pop, you would say...
If Bill is the name.
Mr. Chairman,
here we go.
Okay, Major.
The mission's never ceased. It's just continued, and we continue to get requests every month, nearly every week. Yep. How important is the Minnesota Military Family Foundation today to Minnesota military families?
Well, we're well recognized. You know, when you say how important, it's important when they have a financial crisis. And tell you, it's important also in the way that we are satisfying that service member's number one request, take care of my family. When you have that kind of a safety net like we're providing, I believe it helps every service member have more pride, because what we're doing, it's a real simple thing we're doing. We're collecting money from people in the community that want to. They understand the value of our service members. They want to help. All we are is a conduit to bring that money in and to be ready to serve and help those military families when they're having a crisis. And again, when we help one military family, we're helping all military families. And again, I can't say enough thank you. I can't say enough thank you to all the people out there that have contributed to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. There are tens of thousands of them, and we're putting your money to good use. And the last thing I'll say is that we have no paid staff. Everybody on our team is a volunteer. And again, thank you to our volunteers. Thank you to all of our community ambassadors. And I might say, whenever you out there run into a person that's a member of a military family, thank you.
Well, Bill, thank you for your support. Thanks for starting this foundation and continuing to support our Minnesota military members. Jason, you know how it is. Time on the radio goes by real fast. So we got to take a break here. Again, Mr. Pop, thanks for everything you do with Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, along with Jason Burley, my co-host out here at the Bunker Hills Golf Club in Coon Rapids for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic. And we've got a couple of special guests with us by direct order. I'm using first names only from the great organization, MACV. Neil and John, gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely great to see you both. And when Jason and I were talking about the show out here at the Golf Classic, he said two people we need to get on are Neil and John. We all serve together, and now you guys are serving in a different capacity. And, John, I'll start with you. What's going on? What's happening over at MACV?
Well, MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans, you know, our mission is ending veteran homelessness in Minnesota, and we're doing just that. We are happy to say that currently on the homeless registry, we're below 200, you know, for the first time ever in the history of the state of Minnesota. We're at 199 veterans who have identified themselves as being homeless in Minnesota. And we are working with each of them by name in each of the counties where they exist to try to help find a housing solution for them.
And if they're on the registry, I mean, that obviously means that you've had contact with them. So when we talk about the numbers, what you're talking about is what you know, right? Because some people may not want to register or come forward.
Absolutely. That is what we say. It's who has had, you know, the courage to raise their hand and ask for some help. You know, we know that every time we get an opportunity to be on the radio with you and Jason, it's another opportunity for veterans to hear our voices and say it's okay to, you know, reach out and ask for help for housing assistance. That's what we're here for. That's what we want to be able to do for all veterans, not just the 199 that are on the list, but anybody else that is currently homeless or at risk of becoming homeless if there's a veteran.
And so, Neil, you know, this isn't something that you all just do in a vacuum. You've got to have relationships, partnerships. What kind of partners do you work with to help you all get towards this homelessness crisis for our veterans?
You know, John and I like to say the first step to getting the yes is to say yes. And so we will partner with just about anybody right away in the beginning. Some of those partnerships maybe don't work out as well as others, but most of them do. And so we're partnered across the spectrum from government organizations like MDVA and the federal VA all the way down to small foundations and ladies who send us $5 checks. Whoever wants to be a part of helping a veteran in Minnesota, we want to be a part of facilitating that effort.
General, I got to ask you a question. And I don't take the same kind of liberties that Doug does.
So much for the first names.
And I appreciate that, Jason.
And so, we go down that. When you started this, you know, what were your aspirations when you got started? And in your wildest dreams, where did you think you would end up?
Well, you know, that's a hard question because I am not a boisterous man by trade, but I didn't start this to think we couldn't do it. I had plenty of other opportunities, and I was really trying to be sure with the board that they were willing to transform and change the organization in the way that it needed to end veteran homelessness. And as simple as that sounds now, it was a couple of years of pretty tough sledding trying to convince people that that was an appropriate mission statement, that that was an appropriate way for us to do it, because 34 years of military experience taught me that if you're not going to try to do the thing, you damn sure aren't going to be able to do the thing, right? And so am I amazed that we're here? Absolutely, I am. But it's not because of luck or happenstance. It's from really a lot of hard work on the part of our, not John and I, we're here today at golf. It's on the part of our teammates who are right now today meeting with veterans in shelter and in tents and standing outside our office and underneath the bridge to try to talk them into, as John mentioned before, this idea that it's okay to get help.
So we've gone about 4 minutes here, and I hope I get extra credit for this. I did make it for 4 minutes, but it is kind of awkward to call you Neil, by the way. I've called you sir or general for so long. But, you know, you mentioned these partnerships, and down to the lady that wants to give you $5. I imagine there's more to it than just monetary donations, though, as well. I mean, there's got to be other things and other support that you really appreciate from those that want to give something.
Yeah, I like to say to people, time, treasure, or talent, whatever one fits for you. Some people can volunteer. Some people have the means to be able to pay. And some people are unique talents at certain things that they help us be able to do. But there's not much that we can't figure out how to put to good use. Now, occasionally, somebody might make a donation to us. It's a thing that doesn't work. But we use that partner network that you asked about before and send stuff over to them. And also, not all that long ago, John had, you know, 350 ham sandwiches. That's not what we do, but we know someone who can take that and put that into the right hands. And so I think that's part of this idea that, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. I'm willing to be involved in anything that's going to help one more veteran in Minnesota. And they don't have to be helped by us, but if they can be helped by somebody because we helped facilitate it or we were part of it or just through knowledge of the network, I think that's the best thing for all of us who are veterans.
You know, the rising tide that you mentioned, one of the things I've heard you mention on more than one occasion, I'm hoping you can share it again because it makes so much sense, and that is when you talk about this thought process of little V, big V, or small V. Tell us what that means to you and, you know, how recognizing that really supports the greater good.
Yeah, I think we're all better off if we look at veterans with a big capital V, which means who's ever helping out those veterans, that's just fine. We're all better. If we look at veterans with the little V, then I tend to think that if some donor is helping you, they're not helping me. Or if you got your help from one agency, you don't want any help from our agency. And when we do that, we'd all try to dice up the same dollar bill as opposed to trying to turn $1 bill into nine, one for each of everybody. And I think that that sometimes on the veteran continuum, for a lot of good-hearted people who are trying, they get too focused on a small group of veterans that's in front of them and believe that they're the ones that are doing the right thing. And maybe they are sometimes, but maybe there's help outside of your organization. And we do this a lot. I'm not saying this about other people coming our way. There's plenty of veterans that we don't have the exact right solution for, but we have a lot of other people in the spectrum that do.
And so I'll call you Colonel Lovald. You know, obviously you had a career as well in the military, and you followed General Leutold over. He hired you into the MACV. And so you've been there for a number of years. In your time there, from where you all started to where you are now, what's one of the things that you're, like, most surprised or impressed about that you've seen happen over the last few years?
Well, the name recognition of MACV to be a resource for individuals. You know, when I retired from the military, I wasn't even aware of MACV. I mean, I certainly wasn't in a place where I needed to be aware of it. But everybody that knows about MACV, whether or not they're doing well, you know, like we are, or not, they might know somebody who isn't. And to know MACV as a household name and to have had the opportunities to be on the Minnesota Military Radio, to be on WCCO, to be on all these other, you know, stations, telling the stories that of what this hard work that Neil just talked about, you know, it's compelling, and it makes a good story, and then it, because of that, more and more people know who we are, and having more and more people know about the mission has created more and more opportunities for donors, for us to be able to do more work that we've been asked to do. I mean, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has asked us to do more, and that's what we do. You know, if they see something that we can do, then we want to be able to do that. Whatever resource we can bring to bear, we're happy to do it as long as it fits in our mission of ending veteran homelessness.
So we have just over a minute and a half left here, and I'm just wondering that you know, often on this show, we talk about the importance of our county veteran service officers. And so if there is a veteran out there who's experiencing homelessness, or a family member that has a veteran person or family that they're aware of, even where do you generally tell them to go? How can they get to you? How do they get that help?
The answer is always there's no wrong door. There's no one door. There's no wrong door. Certainly outstate Minnesota, our best resources is the county veteran service officers, the DAV groups, the VFWs, the Legions, because they're seeing these veterans where they are at and know what their situation is. And these referrals can come from any of those types of agencies. They might come straight from the VA themselves.
Yeah, so the bottom line is they just need to ask. And to the point that General Loydalt made, let's take care of the big V, our veterans as a whole, and it doesn't matter who can support them, just let's provide the support that they need.
That's exactly what Neil said.
Oh, boy. So we've got less than 30 seconds. Final thoughts, sir, to you, General Loydalt.
It's interesting to me to think that there's 199 veterans still on the registry today, but it's also interesting to note that 199 is John Lovolt's firefighter number and his race car number. And so for all we've talked about, one of the things we didn't is sometimes it's just really good to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And I'm always mindful of that. We do a lot of hard work. Our staff does a lot of hard work. But at the end of the day, you still need a little bit of luck or grace or whatever it is you call it in order to get the job done.
Well, we appreciate the work that all of you are doing, the MACV team, and really taking care of our veterans and making sure that we can solve some of those housing issues that they might be facing. So thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Jason.
Thanks, gentlemen.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, along with Jason Burley, co-hosting with me today. And Jason, we've had a couple of great guests, and we've got a couple more on that have been very supportive for running this whole event. And I'm going to let you take a lead on this after I make the introduction, though, all right?
Sounds great.
So here we go. Tim Brovald, he's the PGA pro, does the main operations for the golf course as a whole. And Callie Kipke, who's the GM over here at Kendall's and the Bunker Hills Event Center. So welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
All right, Jason, it's all yours.
Thanks, Doug. And it's great to be back again at Bunker Hills. How do you do it every year? I mean, it is 78 and sunny. I think there's just a light helping breeze on every hole. How does that work, Tim? How did you set this course up this beautiful?
We only have good weather here, so you're welcome.
Yeah, come out to Coon Rapids. We only have good weather here at Bunker Hills.
Yeah, wow. And so does that mean if you're swinging a club, it's good weather?
Always.
Yeah.
You can swing the club in bad weather too.
As our Norwegians friends say, Jason, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing.
That's right. Tim, you know, you and I kind of started transitioning responsibility for this particular tournament about 2 years ago.
That's right.
And we are on a great trajectory. How important are, or how difficult are tournaments to run? And then how important are they to Bunker in the community?
I wouldn't say they're very difficult to run. They're a lot of fun to run. Our staff makes it a lot easy for us to do this, especially events coming back every year, year after year after year. We kind of get to know you a little bit more, and it's almost plug and play for the most part for us. So we just have a lot of fun with it. Our staff enjoys it, seeing new people every time, and hosting people is what we do best.
Yeah, it's a great facility, and it's a great golf course. If you haven't been out and you haven't ever played, it's a bit of a unique experience as well, right? There's not a lot of three championship nine holes in the Minneapolis area. What makes that unique, and how does that benefit Bunker?
It is unique, and it's becoming more unique. There's some courses that have downsized from 27 to 18. So we are one of the very few that can actually accommodate numbers that we do. So there are very few 36-hole facilities, very few 27-hole facilities, so we can accommodate large groups like yourselves and others as well, so get more people out experiencing the fundraising aspects of having tournaments and seeing the golf course.
It's a fun golf course. It is in great shape. It's always beautiful. And a great segue is an addition on the golf course was actually driven by the restaurant and catering and events center to put the Albatross food truck in the middle of the golf course. Callie, can you tell us a little bit about how that came to be?
Absolutely. So Albatross opened its first full season last year. So we're, you know, old pros now, but it's really unique that there's one spot on this course where all three courses meet. And that's where we put Albatross at. We can do all the food and beverage there. We have hot dogs and brats and pizza as a consistent basis. And then we, you know, put in some different burgers, some sandwiches options, you know, something to keep it unique and keep it, you know, people wanting more. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. And, you know, you're out there, you're turning through, and all of a sudden, literally there's a food truck in the middle of the golf course. It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, that is an amazing twist. Are you aware of any other golf course that has something like that?
I don't think so.
I haven't seen one. I haven't seen a food truck on a golf course at all.
And so I would imagine that the reception from your golfers has been just fantastic because, you know, here they are at whatever hole, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, my God, I don't have to go back to the clubhouse to get me my hot dog or whatever it is.
Absolutely. And it's really nice that they have, you know, we're offering something that we don't at our Molly's Outdoor Bar and Grill that's connected to the building. Having pizza out there is kind of something different, something quick that golfers can grab and something that's not just a dog or a brat. So
that's interesting.
So the golf is great, but you have world-class food and dining and an event center that, you know, I don't know if that gets the praise that it deserves for how great it really is. This is an amazing spot. What can you host here? I mean, I'm looking around. We've got 200 and some players. Mm-hmm. We've got voting going on. Yeah. You can't even feel it. The restaurant, I think, is filled with people. I mean, how did you do it? This thing is just a, you know, one of the best kept secrets in the cities.
Yeah, we are a little hidden oasis here next to the regional park. But once you find us, you know, we do get some nice traction. But, you know, it's really fun on a day where you can walk around this facility and see a golf tournament going on. And you have some people dining on our patio looking over the golf course, which people love that view. And then, you know, having our event center, we can host meetings as small as 25 and as large as 300. We obviously do weddings on the weekends, too, with an outdoor amphitheater for our ceremony. So, you know, we just like to keep busy here.
And this place is open to the public.
Open to the public.
This isn't an exclusive club. So anybody can enjoy, Jason, what we're enjoying right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, last year, I learned that I could come to the regional park and camp. Go to the water park, come over here, play golf, and get dinner all in just like 5 minutes from each other. It's really phenomenal.
And come back the next morning for breakfast.
Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah. Tim, I want to ask you, and it's kind of like a two-pronged question, really.
Sure.
So COVID helped golf, did it not?
Absolutely, it did.
So you brought golf back because people could be outside and participate. Simultaneously, the food and beverage side had to be sliding or suffering to a degree.
You know, it was nice that we had our Molly's Outdoor Bar and Grill because we could offer services for those golfers that were coming out without having to go too deep into the restrictions. The fact that everything was outside was very, you know, promising for us to kind of bring this building back to its full life. But I would say we're pretty much there now, which has been, it's been good.
That's what I was going to ask. So are we back? Are you guys back at full tilt?
We're back.
Yeah. If you want to come out to Bunker Hills, you want to go to Kendall's, make sure you call because that place is rocking all the time.
Yeah.
We take
reservations at Kendall's. So, call us and let us know when you're coming out. We'll be more than happy to have you. We have happy hour Monday through Friday from 2 to 5. We have breakfast on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 to 2. And then we got a wonderful wood fire grill that we're rocking every single night for some steaks and pork chops.
So good.
And the best outdoor patio there is.
Best outdoor patio.
Great view, great patio, large. Mm-hmm. It is a super great spot to hang out.
All right, so, you know, we're talking about this tournament. Jason, you said there's roughly 200 people golfing here today. With the number of holes and the courses that you have, what could you accommodate? If somebody out there is thinking about, you know what, I want to put on this huge tournament, and they're going to come and talk to you, Tim, and say, we want to do it, what would you say would be like the number that you could accommodate easily?
We can easily accommodate over 200. 216 is usually the number we like to cap at. Circumstances can go a little bit more than that. We have an executive course that we can use as well. We've done that for several events.
Now, what does that mean? What's an executive course?
It's a shorter 9-hole course. So some events will have like a group that aren't necessarily you know, normal golfers, so they can use that shorter
Jason,
course.
Jason, that's you and me, not normal golfers.
Not normal.
Your average golfer, I should have said.
And so that's the kind of deal where, like, hey, I need to do a quick over-the-lunch business deal. Let's go do nine holes, hit the Albatross or Kendall's afterwards, yeah, and have a great meal and close the deal.
That's right.
Absolutely. So what I heard is that all of our listeners that are not playing on the 13th this week need to think about next year, because we could accommodate another 10, 12 foursomes.
Absolutely. For sure.
Bring it on.
So let's that's a goal that has now been stated. So it must get into fruition.
Let's figure it
right?
out, Jason.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's do it.
So Tim and Callie, you can be honest with me. Nobody's listening right now. But is this the most fun group that you get to work with, a guy like Jason Burley, and doing the Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic?
100%.
Absolutely.
I guess you'll be coming back next year.
Yeah, we'll be back. One of the things, again, a nice segue. Great people. Working with you guys is fantastic. If you're thinking about a tournament, if you're thinking about doing any event, Bunker Hills, the people, both of you are phenomenal. But your staff is incredible. Tell us about how did you do that? How do you create that culture? I mean, these people are a ton of fun, and they just get a lot done.
Wow, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, hours and hours of interviews.
Yeah.
A laundry list of criteria. No, yeah, no. We just have a lot of good people in the area and community.
Yeah, well, I would say, and you know this well, Jason, it is all about leadership, and it's the culture you create, and it's very obvious from what I've seen since being out here this morning that you've got a great culture of leadership here, and a great and a fun place for people to work, and you know what, a great place to host a Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf tournament.
Yes.
So, yes, absolutely.
All right, Jason, that about wraps it up for this segment. So, Tim and Callie, thanks so much for supporting the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and thanks for showing up here on Minnesota Military Radio and sharing a little bit about what you do. We really
Absolutely.
Appreciate everything you do.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Excellent. Thanks. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, along with my co-host today, Mr. Jason Burley. Jason, you know, we kind of talked earlier on about you taking this thing over and, you know, understanding the amount of work that goes into it. We got to talk to the golf pro. But one of the things that we really didn't spend a lot of time talking about is the money it takes to do an event like this. And it's important to have key sponsors. And our title sponsor for this year's event is here, Mr. Roger Anderson. Roger, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Doug.
So, Roger, you've got the Airborne Charitable Fund, and you're a title sponsor with that. Tell us, I know you've been coming to this tournament for, well, 15 years. That's how long this has been going on. But this year you decide to be a title sponsor. Tell us a little bit about what led you to that decision to take on that role.
Well, thank you. I'm just happy to be here. Of course, I'm a Vietnam vet from 1970 to 71. I was overseas. And part of the reason I'm here is because that service has led to some really great work for my engineering and architectural company, where I think one of the predominant companies that works on VA facilities, hospitals, at VA cemeteries across the country. We've been fortunate enough to work in Hawaii at the Punch Bowl, where military veterans from the Pearl Harbor are buried. We're expanding these cemeteries all over. We do the design work. And I got into that business because I was a disabled vet. And about 15 years ago, the Congress decided, hey, maybe we ought to get some veteran-owned companies to do this work. It's been great for me. We're up to about 80 employees, and everybody loves what we're doing. But that's how it has worked out for me to be, I guess, a successful businessman, and that led to me saying I want to give back to where I can, when I can. The venue that is provided here with Tom and Bill Pop and everyone has been magical almost, because they can directly benefit military families. When I was in Vietnam, you couldn't even get a phone call back to the United States.
Yeah.
And to do it, you had to go to, I forget, the PX, Tom, or they were somewhere.
Red Cross.
Somewhere, yeah, the Red Cross. And maybe you could get linked up. And so I know what it's like when you're deployed and you can't communicate. And, of course, I was single at the time. Now you have married veterans and service members all across the globe, and they can't stay in good contact. That's part of what this is about. These folks can immediately go to someone like Tom and the MMFF, get the help they need. And to me, that's such a worthy effort. I just love it.
And Jason, I think we should introduce Tom. If you would do the honors, I think our audience knows his voice very well, but why don't you go ahead and bring him into the show here?
Wow, thanks, Doug. It really is actually an honor and a privilege to be on this side of the microphone and then to introduce your mentor, a guy that you just look up to incredibly and has given so much to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And if you're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio, you're probably wondering, where's that voice? Well, I'm going to introduce to you the founder and president of Phalon and the current vice president of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, my good friend and mentor, Mr. Tom Lyons. Tom?
Well, thanks, guys, for coming to get me off the course. This is the first time in 15 years I had orders to golf from this guy over here, the golf chair, and it's a little different to sit on this side, but interesting day with Doug taking over as the primary host of Minnesota Military Radio and Jason taking over as the chair of the golf events. I don't know what to do on this side of the table. I know you guys wanted to know how I got involved in the MMFF. It's a good story, and there's a guy who just walked up, retired Major General Harry Sieben. Back in the 70s, I was the first business manager for the law firm, and Harry was a captain, and I was a staff sergeant, and we've been buddies ever since. And 15 years ago, we were having the 25th anniversary of my firm, Phalon Partners Limited, and Ryan Emerson, who's my IT guy, we were talking about how we're going to celebrate this. And he said, well, let's put on a golf tournament and help Harry raise some money for the MMFF because he was on the board at that time. And I thought, well, that's a better idea than just inviting over all my business buddies and eating and drinking up the money that we'd spend. So I got a hold of Harry, and we went over and met Bill Popp, and we had done some investigation and found out it'd take about $15,000 to put on the first one. And I said, I'll put up the first five. And Bill Popp said, great idea. I'll put up the second five. And he turned to General Sieben and he said, you're going to do the third one. So I had to apologize to him on the way out the door. But we had it paid for, and away we went.
And our audience can't see him, but he's sitting right behind me, and he's smiling and giving a thumbs up. So obviously that's a thumbs up of approval, too.
It's pretty good timing. He comes walking up, and here's the story.
Yeah.
Well, we started out at Deer Run back then, and 3M immediately was part of it, and they invited us to go over to Tartan Park, which we did, and as long as they kept that, the next 6 or 7 years. And now we've been out here because we've grown. We need 3 9-hole courses and 52 foursomes, 208 golfers, and there's a lot of folks like Roger Anderson that have been here every year because they like the mission. They like the idea that we're raising funds to help Minnesota military families. And Doug, you've been deployed. You guys were in the military. You know what it means if you're deployed and your family's back home and they've got a financial issue that they can't afford. If we can solve it and get it paid for and get it done, then our troops that are deployed can focus on the mission and get home safe. And as a retired command sergeant major, you know how important that is, Doug.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Bill Popp was talking about how the money that's raised that comes into the foundation, no paid staff, all volunteer run. And Roger, I've got to imagine that when you donate hard-earned money, it must feel good knowing that the money's going to what the organization's saying it's going to go to.
Absolutely, Doug. We've heard the letters from folks that are just so appreciative of the help they get. I only wish we could do more. You know, all of us have come through life. We had some hard times. And quite frankly, when you have a bill that needs is critical, you need that one paid. But quite frankly, there are 2 or 3 others hovering around there. I wish we could do more for these families because that isn't the only hardship that they have. But we can take care of one hardship that is critical at the time. And I'm trying to think of a way we can do a little bit more, quite frankly. I need to talk to you, Tom, about that.
Well, it sounds like something else to fill in your time, Tom.
Well, I think if I have a minute to answer that, Roger, when the FRS, when the Family Service Center go out and talk to the families, we're trying to pay enough bills so that we've solved the problem so that it's they can move on, they can handle their budget, and get on with life without having to be in the hole again. And so we work hard to try to make sure that we've taken care of more than just one bill. And if you're on the board and looked at it, some of them, there's 10, 12, 15 bills. And we talk a lot about, okay, what do we need to pay? What can't we pay? What's appropriate? And we pay whatever we can. But the goal is fix the problem so they can get on with life.
Yeah, that's a great point, Tom. Really is. That really helps them get their feet under them again and get them up and running.
Yeah, we don't want,
so
we don't
really
want,
a great effort.
We don't want repeat grants. We want to fix it.
Good.
And it's a challenge, but we try.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but it's made easier because of the work that you do, Roger, and supporting the Golf Classic. One of the things that we take great pride in is that supporters like you provide for the event, and then every penny that we raise goes to military families that really, really need it. Why do you think we continue to see this, and how long do you think we're going to battle it, and how long are you in for the fight?
Well, I'm in as long as I can do it. This charitable fund I was fortunate enough to set up with got a few bucks in it, quite frankly, and I'm happy to put them where they do the most good. And that's what it's all about for me.
Well, Roger and Tom, we appreciate you guys coming on and just taking a couple of minutes. And Tom, it's great to have you. I know that you want to get back out on the golf course because this is the first year in 15 that you're going to be able to enjoy the rest of it. So, gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio. And Roger, thanks for supporting this foundation.
Thank you.
Well, Jason, we've got 10 seconds. Final thoughts to you.
Greatest golf tournament. Greatest after tournament event in the cities. If you are looking for something to do next August, make sure you look us up. We're happy to have you on the 16th Minnesota Military Family Foundation Golf Classic.
All right. Ooh. Thanks to my co-host, Jason Burley. And before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us. Be sure to join us next week when we get an update from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System Food Pantry. And check in with the Lower St. Croix Valley Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.